Heavenly Father, we give all the glory to Jesus. We lift His name up. It's because of Him that we have salvation, we have life, we have all of the good things. And we exalt Him today and lift Him up in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now I realize that we still need 4 approved workers. They said nobody showed up, so please, we need help. So please, we need 4 people to go and help in the children's area. Thank you very much. You know, when you decide to bake something, you have to mix various ingredients together. I used to watch my grandma and my mom, but mostly grandma, as she would put everything together. I know Lynette's mom, if you had a cake or something, she would ask you, is this made from scratch or is this a box? Because she made everything from scratch. Now, those older generations, they somehow knew how to do it without measuring it. Any of y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, like, oh, I think it needs a pinch of this. Well, how much is a pinch? You know? So Lynette, her mom was doing something one day, and Lynette said, listen, Mom, if I'm going to measure everything you put in there so we have a recipe, because there's no written recipe, and if you go, then this goes with you. And so that's what she did. I know my grandmother used to make a pineapple coconut cake that everybody liked, and it had a special kind of icing on it, and nobody ever wrote that recipe down, so nobody in the family knows how to make that cake. But did you ever notice if one ingredient gets left out, it's not very good. Sometimes it doesn't taste right. Sometimes it doesn't look right, but it still tastes half decent. But the missing ingredient is the important part of a lot of things that happen in life. And I want to talk about something today that it's not very popular, and it's called commitment. I call it the commitment, the missing ingredient. You know, in today's world, there seems like nobody's committed to anything. Well, if it doesn't work, we'll just do something else. I see people that are not committed to see something through until there's a success. You know, commitment takes sacrifice. And this attitude that is in our society today has penetrated into the church. And it causes some problems. People are not committed to the church. I mean, they hear one Sunday or 2 Sundays, then they overhear for another Sunday, and then they overhear, and then they over there. Nobody's committed to anything. How many of you remember whenever there was real commitment in the world? Anybody but me? I know if you're going to be good in athletics or anything else, you got to be committed to it. You got to be committed to it. You know, I see Brother Roger Sharp sitting back there. He's been a friend of this minister for a long time, was on staff here, as most of you know, but he retired as assistant fire chief in the Tulsa Police Department. But he started out as a fireman. And if you're going to go to the school and become a fireman, does it take commitment, Brother Roger? Wave your hand at me. You got to be committed to it. To go into that training, and you have to go into a smoke-filled room and try to find stuff and so forth and so on. I mean, commitment. It is a word that nobody wants to hear today. Many people will observe something, but they won't do anything about it because they don't want to get involved. That's commitment. Commitment involves. You know, as you look around today, people are not committed to one another in relationships. I'm talking about friend relationships. They're not committed to help somebody. People aren't committed to their jobs. Well, just whatever it takes, and if I don't like this, I'll go do something else. People are not committed to serving God and doing what he says in the word. They're not committed to getting involved in the church. That's why I keep talking involved, involved, involved. Because through that commitment, you see your blessings and your spiritual success comes because of your commitment to that. Would I be here today if I hadn't committed to this a long time ago? When I started Rhema Bible College, September 1974, it wasn't easy. But I went home one day, and I didn't have no staff. I was it. I was teacher. I was administrator. I was disciplinarian. I was the one where they paid to finance their money to. I was it. There wasn't nobody else but me. And it wasn't very easy. But I went home and I told Annette. I said, I'm going to make this go. If I have to hawk everything I got, I am committed to what the purpose that I've been called to. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that. They've tried to run me off. They've tried to steal Rhema from me. But I told one guy, I said, I was here when you came, and I'm here and you're gone. Because he was trying to take the thing away. But it takes commitment. I talked about myself because I know you don't want me talking about you. You're going to have to be committed to it. Now, let's look at what happens when somebody has a high level of commitment to God, no matter what they're facing. Okay? Go to Daniel 3. Daniel 3. And you start talking about commitment and everybody gets quiet. As they say, of course you can't do it nowadays, but you know, you used to have the hardwood floors. They say you could hear a pin drop and hit the floor, you know. Okay. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messengers to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald shouted out, "People of all races and nations and language, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Excuse me. Now, everyone was to bow with no exceptions. But there were three people that refused to bow. Excuse me, just a minute. Let me see if I can clear my throat. You don't want me to talk about this because it's going to get people involved. All right. Now, these guys refused to obey. The king decides to give them a second chance because this infuriated him. One of the reasons he wanted to give them a second chance is because he had placed them in, they were captives of Israelite people that had been taken captive, but they were very good at what they did. And Daniel was one of those, not one of these, but he had been placed in a high position. And now he doesn't like what he sees. So he says, all right, guys, starting with verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you've set up. Now, this response reveals something interesting about these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It reveals a commitment. They were committed to what they believed concerning Jehovah God, no matter what. You know, actually, some of our greatest days come when our commitment level is at the highest. Now, being committed enables you to stand for right things no matter what anybody else does. See, we have to come to the point that we're committed to serving God. We're committed to what this Bible says, no matter what anybody else does or says. Now, this is an unknown statement. I don't know who said it, but convenience goes with the crowd and its desires. But commitment is willing to stand alone on principle and value. That's a good statement. I want to read that again. Convenience goes with the crowd and its desires, but commitment is willing to stand alone on principle and value. We need to look into the Word of God, and we can see a lot of examples of commitment. The Apostle Paul stood alone when everybody else deserted him. He said this in 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. A guy by the name of Noah made a 120-year commitment to build an ark. Abraham committed to obey God and travel and looking for a country. He didn't even know where he's going. God just said go, where he could worship God. Jeremiah prophesied and wept alone while all the rest of Israel, he worshiped God, but the rest of Israel was worshiping idols. Daniel prayed when the Persian law said not to, and he slept alone with the lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we just read about them. They made a commitment to stand alone and refused to bow. Jesus Christ died alone for the whole world. You know, our nation was founded upon men with commitment. to their beliefs and their ideals. Our nation's founders that signed the Declaration of Independence demonstrated great commitment to this country. If you want to do something interesting, go find out all the names of all the guys that signed the Declaration of Independence and find out what happened to them because of their commitment to that declaration. One, I'll just give one, and we all know him, Patrick Henry. He just said, "Give me liberty or give me death." That was his commitment. If you ever go to Washington, D.C. and see the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial, these are monuments that were built to two presidents who made a great commitment for this country. As we have looked in our lifetimes, there have been many people that have made commitments. Sitting in this congregation today, along with myself, are many veterans. And we took an oath of office and we signed a blank check that we were committed to preserve the rights and freedoms of this country, even if it meant our death. How many of y'all made that statement? We made that commitment. I go to Branson a lot because that's my getaway when I need to get a little rest. And they honor the veterans up there quite. If you've been there, you know this. And they'll have you stand up if you go to one of the shows. And they say, honor these heroes. And I always say, I'm no hero. I just did my job. The heroes are the guys that didn't come home. But we look at this flag over here, and we still have what we have because of commitment and blood that was spilled. We look at this flag over here called the Christian flag, and we have our freedom from the tyranny of Satan because of the blood that Jesus Christ spilled on Calvary. Commitment. Commitment. The level of commitment will determine your success, both spiritually and naturally. When we look at these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were at a crossroads, a decision point. Either they're committed to God or they yield to the king. When the king said to bow, they didn't. Now, people will react to your commitment. In Daniel 3:12, it says, but there are some Jews, and this is, they're talking to the king now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon, they pay no attention to you, your majesty, or refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you've set up. People, when you're committed, people around you will react in a lot of different ways. These guys are reacting in this way because they are jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they've been put in charge over the top of them and they didn't like it. So they're trying to get them in trouble. Same thing with Daniel, but when he prayed when he wasn't supposed to, he got thrown in the lion's den. He's committed to pray anyway. If you are committed, you'll be noticed, even in spiritual things, in natural things. You'll be noticed. And sometimes people will try to get you to change your mind. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He gave these guys a second chance. Then when you stand alone and committed, some people will try to set up a test to see if you're really committed or not. When you get to the point of commitment in life, you've got to realize some things. When you get to this point, you're committed to something. It's a personal decision. No one but you can make that decision but yourself. A lot of people want somebody else to tell them what to do. No, you've got to make it yourself. You made a personal commitment when it came to being born again, right? You see, their personal commitment was, God can deliver us. But now let's think about it for a minute. I'm sure those guys are just like us. Maybe they thought, oh, well, would it hurt? Maybe just about one knee. Maybe they thought, oh, maybe. Hey, I'm not really worshiping. Oh, I know what I can do. I can bow down and tie my laces. Come on now. Let's get real. They're facing the fire furnace. I'm sure that they had some thoughts coming, because they were people just like us. And I know for a fact that you, in your commitment to things, the enemy has come to you at many things, right? You know, well, it wouldn't hurt just one time. Secondly, you need to realize when you get to commitment, it will cost you something. There's no such thing as a free commitment. You know, all of you know I ran track and I love track. If I see it on TV, I'll stop and I'll watch it because I understand it. I like to watch the guys and see how they do it. But I want to tell you what. When you get to the state meet, I got to run in the state meet. When you get there, you don't get there because you hadn't committed. I committed to it way back. This is May. I committed to it way back in the fall of the year. I'm a sprinter. I'm not a distant man, but hey, the coach said, I don't care if you are a sprinter, you're going to go run cross country with the cross country team. We had some guys that quit. They wanted to be on the team, but they didn't want to be committed to it. I ran. I was committed to being the best I could be. We need to get to the point that we commit to be the best we can be for God and in our life. I mean, as I'm talking to you this morning, I want you to realize this commitment for God, our commitment in life, is what brings you your success. You know, I was flipping the TV the other night and come across one of those stations where they were playing stuff that used to be on, and I don't even know where they have it anymore. But how many of you remember, oh, several years ago, they used to have the strong man contest that'd be on TV? Well, they were showing one of those. and I was watching that, and I was watching those guys pick up those heavy boulders and all the stuff they were doing. And I looked at them, and I realized they didn't get there without commitment. And you know what? They may have lost some friendships but through that commitment, because they went and worked out when everybody else is going out and having fun. When you make a commitment for God and make a commitment in your life, it may cost you some points in the popularity poll. But points in the popularity poll doesn't bring you success. Another thing we need to realize about our commitment is that other people will be influenced because of our commitment. Other people will be influenced because of our commitment. Every Sunday, I send out a text to I don't know how many people. Most of them are pastor friends. Today I just said, your commitment level will determine your success. Have a great Sunday. And they start coming back to me and making different statements. And one of the guys says, thank you. You are a great example to follow. I'm not trying to pin any roses on me, but it's because of commitment. Turn to your neighbor and say, commitment. Now, another thing you need to realize when you're talking about commitment, that God shows up when you're fully committed. Another thing we need to realize is that we have to have the right perspective of God. Actually, the way we see God really will determine our level of commitment. If we see Him as steadfast and faithful, then our commitment will be stronger than if we don't know. You know, you're not going to commit to something that, well, maybe so, maybe it will, maybe it won't. Your commitment's going to be something that you believe in, that you believe will bring you success. See, they had the right perspective. They believed that God was able to rescue them. Now let's look at this, Daniel 3:16-17 again here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before. If we're thrown in the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Now, in this perspective of God, they perceive that God will honor their commitment. You know what? We all, most of you anyway, have been committed to Mark 11:23. You read that scripture. You believe what it says. You believe that God will honor your faith, or you could say your commitment. Hello. Now I want you to look at verse 18. This is a very significant verse. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. I like to say it like this. Up here in 17 is their faith talking. What they believe. Our God, whom we serve, will rescue us. But in 18 is their commitment. It's easy to say, verse 17, but men, verse 18, even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you. We will never serve your gods or bow down to your golden statue. That's real commitment right there. That's real commitment right there. You see, when we believe and commit it to God's word, he will come through. How many of you have had your back against the wall, but you're committed to God and he came through? Commitment. Let's look at what happened to these guys when they remained true to their commitment. It goes on and says that they threw them in the fiery furnace, fully dressed. And the king was so mad. You can read it, and I'm just paraphrasing 19 through 23, Daniel 3. That he had the thing, he turned the heat up. Then he threw them in. Now it said that they tied them up and threw them in there. Let me tell you something. Your commitment will be tested. But whether you're still standing at the end or not will determine whether you wavered in your commitment or you stood strong no matter what. I say it all the time. I told somebody this the other day. They were in the middle of a situation. I said, I don't care what happens. God is still God. They were questioning their commitment. You got to realize God is still God. I don't care what happens or what doesn't happen. My commitment is to God and the Word of God. The Word of God is still the Word of God. I don't care who didn't get healed. I don't care who didn't get saved. Come on now. Now, if you're going to be committed, you're going to go through some stuff. But I want you to look what happened because of their commitment. Verse 25. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound. Now remember, they were tied up, hand and feet, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. Hey, talk about honoring their commitment. Then in 27, then the high officers and officials, governors, advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not, that's after they come out, had not touched them. They came out of the furnace. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothes were not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. You can't even grill out and grill a steak without getting the smell of smoke on you. Am I right or wrong? And then if you fire up the smoker and smoke a brisket, like I like to do every once in a while, you're going to really get a lot of smell of smoke on you. Now look at this. He honored them. Now this king, I told you it's going to affect and influence other people, your commitment. Remember I said that a while back? Look here. Let's read 28, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angels to rescue his servants who trusted him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any other god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb and their houses turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. Come on now. I'm talking to you about what commitment will do. It'll bring God on your side. Commitment will bring blessing. Look here, verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. That all happened because of commitment. But they went through something to get to here. Too many people don't want to go through the test to get there. Daniel made the commitment. We could go read about him. He made the commitment to pray when he wasn't supposed to, and they threw him in the lion's den. The king didn't want to do it, but he had to because of the decree that he had given out. Now, Daniel got down there in that lion's den. I want to show you something. He was committed to his God. And he was there all night. He probably told, hey, old big boy, you get over here. I'm going to use you for a pillar. You other lions, get on my feet and get beside of me. And he laid down and slept. I'm just imagining that. The Bible don't say that. But the Bible does say the next morning the king went there early and called to Daniel. And Daniel said, I'm still here, king. The lions haven't touched me. King God, now here once again. Here God is God honors. He got all those guys that come against Daniel. He throwed them in that lion's den, and it said that they were torn asunder before they ever reached the bottom of the pit. Commitment. Commitment will bring success. Commitment will bring joy. Commitment will bring God to you. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were ordinary people just like us. Their secret lay in being totally committed to God. Our secret lies in being totally committed to Christ and the Word of God. Something you need to realize, all great, if you study great people of history, great people of the Word of God, and great people in natural history, you'll find out that all of them went through periods of struggle. They all have a fiery furnace experience. But you find out that it is their degree of commitment that made them what they were. Winston Churchill, most of you younger generation don't even know who he was, but he was probably the greatest prime minister that Britain has ever had. He really achieved his greatness during World War II as he led Britain in their confrontation against the Nazis. He made a speech, and he said he was anticipating some things in 1940 when France fell. He said, this is what he said, this is in a speech. The Battle of France is over. I expect the Battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of the Christian civilization. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for thousands of years, men will say this was their finest hour. when you come out of the fiery furnace with your commitment, people can look at you and say, that was your finest hour. If you're not happy today with what's going on in your life, both naturally and spiritually, look at your level of commitment to your job, to your family, to everything. Look at your level of commitment to what the Word of God says to you. A little exhortation that I have here. If you'll stand committed to the righteousness, shall not your God stand by you? Rise up to a new level of commitment, and you'll see what your God will do for you. Then your life will be different, and you'll be so glad. But stay on the sideline, not committed, and you'll see that things won't go, and the blessing will not be. But if your commitment is to me and my word, I will rise you up. I will deliver you. I will promote you. I will bless you. I will keep you. I will protect you. And the end will be so much greater because you decided to commit to me and my word. Hallelujah to Jesus. I had that first part. I wrote it down. But that second part, the Spirit of God came to me as I was speaking. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Commitment is the key ingredient for your success, both spiritually and naturally. Heavenly Father, I've simply talked to these people for a few moments today to remind them that if they're going to receive the blessings that belong to them from your word, then they must be committed to it. Help each of us to commit to your word. Commit to your will. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this place and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, or you know what it is to commit to him, but you're not living where you should and you need to recommit, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you today. And I can't do that unless I know who you are. So would you mind lifting your hand anywhere in this room? If you want to, I see a hand over here, commit or recommit to God. You've never committed your life to God, or you want to recommit upstairs, downstairs. Anybody? I saw one hand. Any other hands want to go up right now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.